Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi.
I am so excited to be back for our fourth, yes, our fourth season of Focus Forward. I can't really believe it myself. I had to do some counting on my fingers to figure that out, but yes, it is actually truly our fourth season. And I'm coming to you with a bit of a froggy voice because fun was had this past weekend. I was visiting Rochester, New York for my 25th college reunion. Maybe I probably shouldn't tell you how many years have passed since I graduated college, but all the laughing and all the talking got to my vocal cords, I guess. So anyway, I know I promised you an episode in August, but we got so busy with other stuff that it just didn't happen. So instead of that, we are going to celebrate our 50th episode with an exploration of the executive function skills of planning and prioritizing. Woohoo! Okay, so maybe not exactly the exciting topic you might have expected for this episode of celebration of our 50th time we're meeting, but sometimes life happens and you end up with planning and prioritizing as your celebration episode. Also, I just want to note that the irony in this situation is not lost on me. Had we planned and prioritized better, this would be the 51st episode, and we would have successfully dropped a 50th episode back in August. But here we are. So luckily, planning and prioritizing are actually really important and are totally worth their own episode, especially the 50th. But how did we even choose this topic? On the Beyond Booksmart website, you can fill out a quiz to find out what your challenges are and which of our executive function programs are the best fit for you. And so we used the results of that quiz, plus the questions that our webinar attendees submit with their registrations, to find out what the most common challenges are for people. And guess what? Planning and prioritizing come out on top every time. So without further ado, let's get into this. So why should we care about planning and prioritizing other than the fact that everyone seems to want help with them? These two related skills are really essential for managing tasks, achieving goals, and reducing stress both in our personal lives and in our professional lives. When we can plan and prioritize well, we make it easier for ourselves to do the things we don't want to do, and we create room in our lives for the things we do want to do, those things that reward us and the things that really matter to our happiness and well-being. What I like best about planning and prioritizing is that there are many clear and relatively easy to use tools and strategies to support developing stronger skills in this area. Now, I say easy, and I don't mean they're necessarily easy to do, but they're simple. They're not super complicated. As a coach of college students, planning and prioritizing are much of what I work on with my students. They begin to use these skills when they're younger, but they don't really need to rely on them until college. And as for adults, being able to plan and prioritize is pretty essential to success. So my adult clients also work hard on this. And if you're the parent of a younger child, you might notice that their planning and prioritizing skills are, shall we say, still emerging. And that is because the prefrontal cortex, where our EF skills lie, is not finished developing until our mid to late 20s. And then even fully developed, our brains are all different from each other. Some people are great at planning and other people have trouble even with help. And if your child has a diagnosis of ADHD or another learning difference that can impact executive functioning, their ability to plan and prioritize will be affected. And speaking of kiddos, working on strengthening their executive function skills when they're young pays off in spades over time. There is ample evidence proving this. So we know that whatever effort we put in to helping our kids learn EF skills, tools, and strategies is totally worth it. It's completely, completely worth it. If you're curious about learning more about the positive outcomes that come from having strong executive function skills as a child, you can check out the show notes for resources. including one of my faves, Ellen Galinsky. Her books are in there. And if you missed my conversation with her earlier in season 3, be sure to listen to episode 40. And in addition, I shared with you earlier this year that I also work as a trainer for our Brain Tracks program, which teaches teachers how to implement EF education into their classrooms. And I have found it to be so rewarding. And it's also helpful for the teachers who participate. So I really, truly commend every teacher and administrator out there who has learned about EF skills and maybe even participated in a training, whether it's Brain Tracks or another company. And I really encourage you to check the show notes for links on that. Or you can also just go to braintracks.com if you want to learn more. But teaching our kids those skills is just so important. Okay, so I know you all want to learn about tools and strategies, so let's get in. We're going to start with prioritizing. I asked Michael Dellman, who is Beyond Book Smart's founder and CEO, to explain why we really need to prioritize before we can start planning, because sometimes you want to just jump in to the planning. Here's Michael.
To understand why planning comes ahead of prioritizing only in the dictionary, consider this. Imagine that you've meticulously planned out all the steps of a very important project. You've laid out what the steps are. You've put them in the proper sequence. You've put in the correct amount of time for each one. You've built in appropriate breaks. And then you go and get started. And there, sometime about an hour in, you realize this project isn't due for a long time. I have another project that's due a lot sooner and is far more valuable to me. You've just spent a lot of time on a planning process and even begun the execution phase without making sure that you're even doing the thing that matters. So prioritizing comes first. Deciding, is this the thing that I need to do now more than anything else? It's going to lend the most long-term value, or it is the most urgent thing that I simply must get done. When you've answered that question for yourself, yeah, this indeed is your priority, then you can begin the fun, ever pleasant task of planning.
Thanks, Michael. In episode 14, which was all about time management, I covered a few tools for prioritizing. So if you haven't listened to that and you want to learn more after you listen to today's episode, check it out. It's not long and it's full of good ideas. Because prioritizing should be a priority of yours, I am going to share a few more strategies for you to consider today, and hopefully these are new to you. In the time management episode, I explain the Covey quadrants, or also called the Eisenhower matrix, which helps you divide your time and tasks into four quadrants based on urgency and importance. Sometimes doing this can feel overwhelming. So here's another idea from Michael in our coaches chat, where 200 of our coaches can ask questions and share ideas. Michael suggested a simplified approach for managing emails and tasks by categorizing them into three buckets. Bucket one is must-do now-ish. Bucket two, probably should do soon-ish. And bucket three, could probably wait, the world will go on. Michael explained that that third bucket is crucial because we often feel that everything on our to-do list or in our inbox needs immediate attention. By identifying what can truly wait, we can significantly reduce our task list and alleviate much of the associated pressure. Once we've prioritized our tasks into these buckets, we can then focus on organizing and maintaining our list effectively. Organization is generally easier and more action-oriented, which creates forward motion, which begins our success cycle of achievement, confidence, effort, more achievement, more confidence, more effort, and so on. Another prioritizing tool that involves three buckets is what we at Beyond Book Smart call the DKDK. The DKDK tool is excellent for students to use for categorizing information, usually to prepare for a test, but not always. It helps you determine what you do know, what you don't know, and through this process, you usually, hopefully, find out what you didn't know you didn't know. And this can help prioritize what to study and focus your energy on. And it also helps prevent potential test topics from slipping through the cracks. To use a DKDK, you take your study guide, your notes, and your reading materials to see what topics are going to be on an upcoming test. Each topic is prioritized by how well you know it. You can also practice some metacognitive thinking here by asking yourself, could I teach this to someone? And asking this question can help you determine which bucket it goes into. You could expand this tool by using the categories of do know, don't know, and kind of know, and then prioritize what and how much you study by which category each topic is in. And then in addition to studying for tests, students and teachers can also use this throughout a unit of study to monitor their learning as they progress towards the assessment or the exam at the end of the unit. The ultimate goal is for everything to end up in the do know column. And just a thought about the studying materials that students will use to create their DKDK. It may be that your teacher doesn't give you a study guide, so you'll need to create your own by referring to your notes and reading materials. This is an excellent opportunity to also practice some self-advocacy skills by having your teacher check your list of potential test topics to see if you're on track. All right, so one more prioritizing tool before we move on to planning. Something I hear a lot from my adult clients is the challenge of how to prioritize tasks that have no clear deadline. So these might be ongoing work projects like updating your website, creating social media content, or researching current trends or best practices. And in our personal lives, it might include larger or long-term projects like hobbies or home improvement activities. And so one simple tool that my clients and I have been using is creating artificial due dates. So many of you might be rolling your eyes because you know that in general, this is not really that helpful. It's always like an advice that someone gives you, but in practice, it's not always that helpful. And something I realize is that one reason it doesn't work very well is that those artificial, arbitrary due dates are not meaningful to our brains. Goals are much more easily reached when they have deep importance or meaning to us. So one way around this is to choose a due date that means something to you, even if it has nothing to do with the task itself. For example, a client of mine had a wedding to attend earlier this year. She chose that as her due date for a long-term project because she knew she didn't want that project hanging over her head while she was at the wedding. And also, the wedding stood out to her in her mind. The date of the wedding stood out to her in her mind. And so she was easily able to gauge how much time she had until that day. And then this made it easier for her to stay on track and prioritize the project. Okay, so that's it for prioritizing. Once we have prioritized the stuff we have to do, now we have to plan it all and maybe track where we're at if it's a long-term project. One of my favorite planning tools that I've been using lately is a spreadsheet spreadsheet status tracker. And I use this tool all the time for my long-term projects, podcast included. One of my clients has multiple clients of her own, so she needs to track their progress towards the end goal. So she uses this as well. To create a spreadsheet status tracker, you'll need some basic spreadsheet skills, but not much. And you can also use AI to help you with some of this if you're not sure. Just type into the AI prompt what you're looking for to do in your spreadsheet, and it will give you the steps. So first, you're going to figure out what you'll want to record and track on your tracker. For example, when I track podcast episode development, I include the guest and the topic, when I'm going to record the episode, what questions or what format we're going to use, and then all of the editing steps that follow after the recording is done. Whatever you've determined you want to track, you add those to the cells of row one. So across the top. in row one. You're going to put all those in each individual cell. And then I use drop-down status menus that allow me to update where in the process I am. So maybe I'm completed, or maybe I haven't started it yet, or maybe it's in progress. And then each drop-down choice is color-coded too, so I can tell at a glance where I am at in the project. I can see what still needs to be done. My client uses the same method to help her see where each of her clients are in the process. And you can also use a days until function to help you see how many days you have until the date it is due, or until that arbitrary date that you set for yourself. It's actually not that arbitrary because it's attached to something that is meaningful to you. So once you've figured out what you're going to track, you'll put whatever it is that you're tracking in column A, and you can use column B if you need to. So for my podcast status tracker, I have each episode number in column A and then the title in column B. My client puts her client's names in column A and how many days until the project is due in column B. So these tools can take a while to set up. It can sound way harder than it is, and it can take longer than you wish it would take. And you might need to modify them as you use them over time. But the amount of effort that they save over that time is totally worth it. Just knowing where you are in the process can relieve a lot of anxiety that you might have about it. It can also just keep you organized. Also, I gotta say, listening to this might sound like I really do know my way around a spreadsheet, but I really do have to give credit to my spreadsheet whiz of a husband, Eric. And as I mentioned before, I definitely take advantage of AI to help me when Eric is not around. So a super powerful planning tool that is part of the spreadsheet tracker is chunking. And chunking is breaking things down into categories or smaller steps. I personally cannot stand the word chunking, so I'm not going to say it again. And if you know me well, you know I've got like a weird thing about some words. Chunking, is high on that list. So breaking things down into smaller steps helps in a variety of ways. It can improve our focus because these smaller tasks can often be easier to concentrate on. Smaller steps are also motivating. When you achieve small wins, it can give you momentum, propelling you forward. The laws of physics apply here as well. And you just feel better about yourself. Smaller steps can also help reduce the amount of procrastination you do. Knowing a small task ahead of you might make it easier to start because you feel less overwhelmed and less negative emotions around the task. Feeling overwhelmed from looking at a project as a whole big thing can be paralyzing, and pretty much is paralyzing for everybody. So break it down. See how it goes. So once you've broken all those tasks down into smaller steps, time blocking is another planning strategy to try, especially if you're struggling to stay on task or if frequent task switching throws you off your game and makes you less productive. Time blocking involves deciding ahead of time and recording somewhere, maybe on a calendar, in your planner, or on a simple piece of paper, when and what you'll work on during your day or your week. My colleague and good friend, Amy McDuffie, who you may remember from our 25th episode all about motivation, shares that she's coaching a young adult who struggles with distraction while he's working. He likes time blocking because it helps him set up his day for success. He is intentional with his time. He builds in time for those reactive tasks, the things that you feel like you have to do now, but you know you actually can wait on them. It's that third bucket of Michael Dellman's that I mentioned earlier. So, for example, this client sets aside time specifically for checking and replying to emails. This way, his emails interrupt him less when he's working on projects. And if your client uses shared calendars, I encourage you to add your time blocks to your calendar as often as possible so that you can minimize the chance of being interrupted. I personally use Clockify to time how long I'm working on tasks, and this also helps me stay on track for the simple reason that I don't want to stop the timer and have to remember to start it again. It's like a gentle little nudge back to what I was working on. You got to use these tools, people. All right. So in a dream world, time blocking would work perfectly. We'd never struggle with being interrupted or distracted or feeling bored to death. Can you imagine a life like that? Luckily, there is a great tool that can support us when we have to transition to another task or back to the one we were working on. Next Steps. This Next Steps is a coach favorite around Beyond BookSmart, and it's also one that we share with our teachers in our Brain Tracks Executive Function PD classes. When we use Next Steps, we quickly jot down what we are going to do next, what we're going to do when we return to this task. It helps you transition out of that time block, so when you return, it's easier to get started again. You're making space in your brain for other stuff, and you're giving the task of remembering the thing to your piece of paper. Now your brain doesn't have to do it. This is also a great tool for students to improve their task initiation for homework. So if they start their work in school, but then don't finish it, they can make a Next Steps note reminding them of what they're going to do next, which will make it easier for them to get started on their homework later on. If you're working on something digitally like a doc or a spreadsheet, you can leave yourself a note or a comment so when you return to it, you'll see where you should start up again. I absolutely love this tool. I use it all the time and I would be completely lost without it. All right, so there we go. I didn't keep you too long. We've prioritized and planned, and now we can get to work. I'd love to hear from you. What planning and prioritizing tools work best for you? How have you made space in your life for the things that you want to do? Shoot me an email at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com and tell me all about it. I would really love to hear from you. Thank you so, so much for taking time out of your day to listen to our 50th episode. Woohoo! Sean Justice and I have been working hard planning out this fourth season. It is October, so we will be covering some topics around ADHD in celebration of ADHD Awareness Month. And later on this fall, we will be tackling topics such as executive function challenges impacting our relationships, how to keep our brains healthy, how to handle holiday stress with the lazy genius, and we'll also hear some stories from one of our veteran coaches. A million thanks to all of you for listening, for joining me again after our hiatus, and for coming back again and again to learn more about executive functioning. Please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you leave a written review on Apple, it helps us get found by even more people. So if you have a second to do that, I would love you for it. You can sign up for our subscriber email, which will let you know when new episodes have dropped, and we share our show notes in there as well. Thanks to my podcast team at Beyond BookSmart, Sean Potts and Justice Abbott. And of course, endless thanks to Michael Dellman for his contribution to this episode and for all the other smart things he says and does. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.